Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:43 British Summer Time. Today is September 29th. Well, we've had a relatively quiet day on stock markets, and indeed most markets today, following on from yesterday's really rather impressive upward dynamics on a number of European and North American indices. Yesterday was also important because we saw one of the first markets to break upwards to a new all-time high, and that was Chile yesterday, and improved on that performance in here today. Chile peaked considerably earlier than a number of other markets, had a relatively shallow reaction during the worst of the credit crisis, and pushed up consistently and persistently over the last 6 months, and broke upwards to new high ground yesterday, which is a remarkably impressive performance. But when we contrast the strength of emerging markets, and particularly those in emerging Asia and commodity-producing Latin America, versus the lagging markets in the majority of Europe and the USA, we can see that there is a distinct divergence in terms of performance, not only in terms of the performance, but also in terms of timing. The majority of emerging markets found support from October, and while a number began to rally from March, the majority were already well into base formation development by the time March rolled around, and a number had already broken on the upside. And China was one of the leaders, both in terms of performance and timing, even among emerging markets. Then we saw that lagging markets, the sentiment was really pretty bearish back in March as some of these markets moved to incremental new lows. But since then, we've had a remarkably powerful rally, and that has seen stock markets in particular performing on the upside in really quite spectacular form. But before this bull market is over, we're likely to see a considerable number of more emerging markets pushing onwards to new high ground following Chile's lead. And while lagging markets are probably going to have a more difficult time of it, higher beta emerging markets really are where the action is at the moment, and where investors are continually starting to look for better performance and a safer investment. There was a time, not too long ago, I should say, when emerging markets were really classed as an extremely risky asset, but that's certainly no longer the case. When we look at the way that developed countries have been managed over the last decade in particular, then and the relative performance of emerging markets, there really is no comparison. So if emerging markets are where we can find prudent financial planning and higher interest rates, steady currencies, greater GDP growth, and improving standards of corporate, civil, and political governance, well, that's a sound argument for being invested in those markets, and investors are increasingly looking towards emerging markets for longer-term type investments and as realistic stores of value. Elsewhere today, as I said, it was a relatively quiet day, but treasuries were relatively unchanged, and gilts and bunds were a little bit firmer. The US dollar had been a little bit weaker earlier on in the session, but not any great move. The pound, which has been really quite overextended versus a whole range of currencies, bounced somewhat in here today. It had that long tail on the candle against the euro yesterday and got a little bit stronger in here today, so we might be in for something of a short covering rally in favor of the pound over the coming days, but it needs to do a bit more than it's done already to really break the consistency of downtrend that has really been in progress for much of the last 6 weeks. Elsewhere in the commodity complex, gold went down and had a look at $985 today and closed out the day back above 990 at 992.60. We continue to see that although gold has been a little bit weaker every day for the last 5 days, it's hasn't come down in any kind of a dynamic fashion, and it continues to look like a consolidation in the region of the $1,000 level. The fact that precious metals have been a little bit weaker over the last week is in no small part due, I suspect, to the firmness of the dollar. And with the euro today, the dollar went down, or the euro went down and had a look at the 145 level, which is now a psychological area of potential support. And really, the dollar has steadied in the last few weeks, and the 6 month downtrend on the dollar index remains very much in place, and it really would need to sustain a move above 78 on the dollar index to really even begin to question the consistency of the downtrend that remains in place. And in the absence of such a move, there is the continued likelihood that precious metals are going to remain in this consolidation. But provided the progressions of high reaction lows remain in place for these precious metals, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and the potential of gold to be able to sustain a move above $1,000 and improve upon that performance will remain a distinct possibility. What we continue to see is that right across asset classes, there are really quite consistent trends characterized by progressions of higher reaction lows. That's as true in the precious metals as it is in the stock markets. And when we look at the dollar, it's the reverse. So you have this progression of lower rally highs. And there's something of a symbiosis there where leverage trades have been put on in a large number of funding currencies, but particularly in the US dollar, where you've had this well-defined downtrend over the last 6 months and remarkably low interest rates, which have been put out in search of yield or higher returns in dollar-denominated assets, but also in risk assets in general. And if we do see a larger rally for the dollar, that could put some pressure on where that those leverage trades have been invested. So it will be increasingly important to watch what is happening in the currency markets over the coming months and years, with a view to monitoring where the leverage is being invested and when that leverage is going to come under pressure. We do appear to be very much in a situation that is quite similar to where we were back in 2003, where it was the yen was the funding currency of choice, where a large number of markets had this huge pullback, but it was technology that had the largest reaction, and relatively unaffected sectors were able to push up in a pretty short order and move onwards to new high ground, while technology has had a more difficult time of it over the last 10 years. And now we're looking at the banking sector being the epicenter of global risk, and other sectors are performing quite well, and on markets that were unaffected by the credit crisis are performing in quite spectacular, are outperforming in quite spectacular style. And when we look at the commodity complex, you have the catchphrase that has been practically a mantra at Fuller Money since 2003 has been supply inelasticity meets rising demand. And that was characterized by the fact that there were massive supply constraints in the commodity complex coming out of a long bear market, and demand was increasing right through the emerging markets and the synchronized global economic expansion that was getting underway at the time. Now we are in a situation where the emerging markets are getting back to business as usual, and they are going to lead the world in terms of GDP growth. And the global recession is ending, with recessions ending right across Europe, and we appear to be in, if it hasn't already ended in the US, then the chances are we're in the very latter stages of such of the recession. And we're returning to a period of synchronized growth. How strong that growth is going to be is a question for the economists. But stock markets suggest that people are willing to bet that the amount of liquidity that's been put into the system is having an effect. And what we are also seeing on the supply side in the commodities sector is that large numbers of new projects to bring new supply online have been cancelled. And the funding that they depend on to get new projects off the ground in the mining or in the oil sector just isn't there. So we are potentially into a situation where the supply inelasticity could well become an issue again if we start to see that economies are recovering a little bit faster than people expect. And that could easily be the case, particularly in those emerging markets, if we remain with these loose monetary conditions, which central bankers are telling us are still needed to ensure that growth gains traction. That could help to fuel a further bull market in commodities that could push them to highs well beyond what people expect is their potential in the immediate future. So certainly we're looking at a very interesting couple of years in front of us as the amount of liquidity that has been pushed into the global markets finds its way into risk type assets and drives the ones with a sound fundamental story to new highs, whether that is in the commodity sector or in the emerging markets. And we continue to run the risk that a new asset bubble will be formed because at least one or perhaps a range of central banks will leave the liquidity in the system for too long and create an asset bubble. And with the way that stock markets have been performing and commodities have been performing, they are the lead contenders for where the next bubble would potentially form. Now, I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.